Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. Beautiful spring-like winter day. We hope that yesterday morning was winter's last hurrah, but this time of year we can get it again and again, can't we? But take what we get, but it's beautiful and it's so good to see all of you. This week we are praying for Jamie Meyer and her family. Pam, maybe you can tell them that we're praying for them, all right? Thank you. Birthdays, Friday, Luke Tan Nave. Mary Ann, tell her we said happy birthday, would you please? Oh, that's what's good about coming to church. You get up to date on everything. Anniversaries, John and Sandy Schilke this Friday, 55 years. Be sure and pass our regards on to John, and congratulations to both of you. At this time, Phyllis Johnson would like to make an announcement.
On Thursday afternoon, the 22nd of February, Noah, number one grandson, said goodbye to his father, Frank Garcia. And they had a beautiful relationship. Exactly 5 months to the day of losing Dad, Daniel. So now here Noah has lost both of his dads. As he was so blessed, he said, to have two dads that loved him and that cared about him. I don't know any of the details for Frank yet, but he was 53 years old when he passed away.
Thank you, Phyllis, and be sure and tell Noah our hearts go out to him and our prayers as well. Tuesday is Bible study at 10 a.m. On the first hymn today, we're singing verses 1 through 4. And on the second hymn, we're singing it to the music of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, LBW 499. Pastor, tell Sarah we're praying for her.
Will do. Thank
God
you, Joe.
God bless you both for being here. Thank you.
You're most welcome, and thank you for making announcements on the hymns there. So, peace the Lord be with you all. Take a few moments to rise up and greet those around you as you greet one another with the peace of the Lord. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and more worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus the Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Now, if we say we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sin. As a called and ordained pastor of the Church of Jesus Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as you call to the saints of old through your Holy Spirit, call to those today who have wandered from your ways, that they may embrace in faith the truth of your word and live their lives according to it, through your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Genesis, 17th chapter, beginning with the first verse. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Join me in reading responsively Psalm 22, verses 23 through 31. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Prosperity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. The second lesson is taken from the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 38. And Jesus went on with the disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. How many of you can remember at some time in your life traveling in familiar territory when an accident or construction or something forces you off the main road and you don't have a road map in your glove box? Now, I realize many of this generation would look at me puzzled, like, a road map? A road map? What is that? Because they have their cell phones that give them everything direction-wise and so forth. That is, unless it was last Thursday and they happened to be AT&T or Verizon, one of those, that all of a sudden things kind of went dark. They found themselves without able to connect with people because the cell towers, the internet, I found it was a software glitch, I guess, that caused such a great outage. Later in that day on Facebook, I saw people lamenting the fact that they couldn't contact people, they couldn't connect with ones, they just were beside themselves, and I kind of couldn't help but put in there, the good old days of just sitting on the front porch, chatting with your neighbor in a cafe, talking with people face to face about what's going on in the world and around the community. The good old days. The good old days of wireless devices, not yet invented. Those were the days, were they not? Go back to Hooterville, or one of those other shows that's still on TV. The Party Line. Remember those all too well. But we all come to intersections in our life where we're required to make a decision. You might recognize this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, there was far that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, and I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverge in a wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. Anyone recognize that? From the days of literature in English, Road Not Taken, from Robert Frost. Roads less traveled oftentimes can be more difficult, and yet that difficult road may reveal some of the most wondrous views and opportunities. A less traveled road may offer up experiences that are filled with excitement, unexpected pleasures and joys, and it may suddenly plunge its traveler into unexpected darkness, pain, and sorrow. Yes, leaving well-worn paths opens up new possibilities. What's around the next bend, over the next hill? Jesus is speaking about a road in today's gospel that Peter does not want to travel on. He tells the disciples what is coming down this road that he will be taking, this road of ministry, that he must suffer many things, be rejected by the religious rulers, even die. They seem to not hear the last part, though, and rise on the third day. This leaves the disciples most perplexed, and often the impetuous Peter. He steps up to the plate to let Jesus know what he thinks about all this. His preview of what's coming attractions, Peter is not happy. He doesn't want this road of suffering, a dying on the cross. It doesn't sound like good news to him. The less traveled road with the cross as a destination is repulsive, to be avoided at all costs. How could you, Jesus?
How could you teach such a theology? It's beyond their comprehension. And so Peter says, enough. He stops Jesus in his tracks. That can't be right, Jesus. Peter does not understand how possibly God could use Jesus in such a way. Such a path of sorrow, pain, and even death. He's convinced that Jesus is choosing the wrong path. From his perspective, he does not need this path that does not lead to success or power or glory that he envisions for the Messiah. For that's what he envisions the Messiah bringing in the world, including freedom from Rome. In Walt Wagram's novelization of the Bible, you may have heard of this or read this, The Book of God. Walt explores the characters, examines their motives, their feelings, their relationships. He masterfully writes, and he speaks. If you ever have opportunity to hear him, I don't know if he's still traveling at all or not, but his speaking of the love in the Bible, the conflict, human events and not human events, beyond our understanding, throughout the Bible. In pages 706 to 707, Walt writes this about Peter. Walt says, he, meaning Jesus, said, things are going to change now. He heaved a sigh. We all were moving with him now toward the little spring of water. Jesus said, I have to go to Jerusalem. When I get there, I will suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. I'm telling you now so that you need not be surprised when it happens. It will happen. Jesus knelt down by the spring, cold from the earth. He made a cup with his hands, scooped up the water. Just before he started to drink, he said, I will be killed in Jerusalem. And on the third day, be raised. I spoke again. I said the most natural thing there was to say. But my feelings were so hurt by Jesus' words, be killed? Was this the gloomy thing he'd been thinking about all this time? I grabbed his wrist and shouted, no! The water splashed from his hands. No, God won't allow it, I cried. On account of my feelings, I was gripping him with all my strength. But he started to pry my fingers from his wrist. He had terrible power in his hands. I blustered. Surely he knew that I was arguing out of love for him. Oh, Lord, I said, this can never happen to you. After Peter was criticized by Jesus, Wangren goes on to emphasize Peter's thoughts. No, but I do care for the things of God. And I love you, Lord Jesus. This is so confusing. One minute I'm Peter, the next minute I'm Satan. But I didn't change. How can plain love cause such outrage in the Lord? Imagine if you were there with the disciples. Doesn't sound unlike Peter, does it? From what we know of Peter, I think Walt Wangren has done well in capturing how it might have sounded if you had been there. Indeed, Peter's love for Jesus left him perplexed, unable to comprehend why Jesus would choose such a path that was so much different from the road they had been on for the last 3 years. Why would he subject himself to so much suffering, when he had been healing people, restoring people everywhere they went? Why would he now choose a road that is so different than what they've been traveling on? Why would the past miraculous feedings of thousands, the healing of many, the restoring of sight, the raising of Lazarus, sending demons running, why would Jesus depart from that path? A path of success, glory, and power versus traveling a road of unbelievable pain, suffering, and even death. Such a change. Why would Jesus do this? It's not the road that Peter saw for the long-awaited and conquering Messiah. It was a road for a dead one in Peter's eyes. Imagine Peter trying to understand Jesus' words, get behind me, Satan! That's still reverberating in him when Jesus turns to all of them and says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. The disciples find themselves at a life intersection that they didn't see coming. Suddenly, Jesus is calling them to follow him on a road that doesn't seem all that inviting. They'd like to put a road closed sign up, or at least a detour sign up. That's not the way to go. Perhaps the more appropriate sign would be, road construction ahead. Follow the signs. Follow Jesus. Another analogy for this situation might be, you've been marooned on an island, whether it be from a boat or a plane crash. You're there on that island, hoping someone will rescue you. When finally they show up, you turn to grab your suitcase that survived the crash or the backpack, but the rescuer says, no, got to leave that luggage behind. There's no room for that, just yourself. But I don't want to leave this behind. It's got some important stuff in it, I complain. I guess you could say, no, I don't like that option. I think I'll just stay here. Maybe Gilligan will stay there with you on that island. Jesus called them to follow him on a road to the cross that is indeed a road less traveled, a road that's under construction with its final destination that cannot be reached except by a bridge that they cannot see yet beyond the cross. For the cross and the grave hide that for 3 days. It is indeed difficult to give up the tried and the true, what can be seen and what is known, for the unseen and the unknown. Jesus' teachings that one must give up everything, including one's very sense of self-accomplishment, one's success and well-being for Jesus' life plan, can be a tough decision for them to make, for us to make. The disciples now do have the advantage. They've been traveling with Jesus for some 3 years. They have memories of all those miracles that he has done, the healing, the raising of Lazarus. And in that boat, when it was so stormy, they were fearing for their lives, and who calmed the storm? Jesus. But it hits home to them. It's personal. He's asking them to give up their lives, give up everything, and they will find their lives in him. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. Christ says, give me all. I don't want only so much of your time or money or work. I want you. No half measures are good enough. Hand over the whole self. All the desires which you think innocent, as well as theories that you think wicked. The whole outfit. And I will give you a new self instead. Jesus asks us to lose our lives in him, and in so doing, he will give us new life. And yet our mortal minds work overtime seeking answers, wanting to know more about what is this new life? What do I get? Over the years, many have tried to paint rosy pictures. They've tried to level that road less traveled, to make it more comfortable. Well, they've tried to provide vehicles with wonderful suspensions that smooth out all of life's bumps and ruts. Some even proclaim, when you get right with God, your new life will be better than your previous life, even glorious. The many that proclaim the good news today would be pleasing to Peter and the disciples. For all too many sell the road less traveled as one with panoramic views where God is only handing out blessings, success without suffering, promise without pain. It is a road where the tour guides say, believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and all you ever dreamed for will be yours. Prosperity gospel. If Jesus were to walk into many places today with the preachers teaching and preaching, I have little doubt that some of those places, at least, preachers of painless gospel would experience Jesus face to face as Peter did. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And imagine the response of all those sitting there when suddenly the screen up front has Jesus' words coming across just as he had spoke them. Wow. What would that be like? Have we ever heard Jesus tell us that? I'm guessing we have. Yes, we all have a bit of Peter in us. A part of us that desires to negotiate our terms for both the road less traveled and just what is involved in receiving and living this, quote, new life that you talk about, Jesus. Often do we think, maybe I'll just stay here with Gilligan. I want to keep at least this small piece of my old life's luggage. We all long to enjoy life without rough roads and construction. However, they are integral parts of this life, this world, on this side of eternity. Jesus calls each of us to be part of his construction crews, faithfully helping others along life's paths, along both the well-traveled and the not-so-well-traveled, the less-traveled roads. Just as construction workers, patrolmen, first responders, and others spend tiring days in the hot sun as well as long days and nights in the cold, freezing weather, so too we will encounter times of self-sacrifice, of giving to others, of putting our needs second to the needs of others, suffering along this world's roadways and byways. For living for Jesus Christ and living in Christ does not mean that everything will be without pain and suffering. For crosses can be heavy, they can be awkward, they can be far from glorious. But as we faithfully follow and walk with Jesus along life's roadways, we will one day cross his bridge to eternal life. It is in faithfully living by the cross, in the cross, and through the cross that we experience Jesus' true meaning, his true purpose in our life. Which road have you chosen? Which road are you traveling today? The road that Peter first wanted to take, or the road that Jesus teaches and calls us to travel with him? Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Amen.
invite the congregation to join together professing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, indeed, with the Holy Spirit, empower us for work in your ministry as we travel down life's roads. Guide us. Care for us. Help us to make it around all the potholes and the danger signs that we come across. Lord, there are many things that we would like to turn around and go the other direction, take a different path. And yet, we are there with you. There are many times that we are as Peter, saying, no, Lord, I don't like this way. And that your love is beyond our comprehension as you continue to guide us and care for us. We especially ask you, Lord, that you would be around the Frank Garcia family and lift them up in our prayers, that you would guide them. Guide others that we bring to you at this time for healing and comfort and care in your name. Lord, we pray for direction. We pray for guidance. We pray for patience. Help us to be patient. Help us to have ears that hear and eyes that see and a heart that is open. Help us to remember our baptism, Lord. That we fall down and the world has dirties us, you pick us up. We are washed by your blood, Jesus. We are clean. Because of that, you can look on us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for such an amazing gift of eternal life. Thank you for the gift of being able to come to your table, Jesus, as we soon will. It is your body, your blood, that we are able to do this. Continue to walk with us in our lives as we leave this place of worship into the world that we might worship there and proclaim the good news to those around us. Where there is hurt, may they know your comfort. Where there is sadness, may they see the hope in you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be your disciples here in 2024 in new ways. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to serve the risen Lord.